God's Word, and our reading for this morning is taken from the New Testament and from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. And I'm actually just reading the short section at the end. We've had some of the first sightings of Jesus after the resurrection, and the disciples have been called to go to a specific place to obey the call of God and to go there to meet a man who was dead. Seems an absolutely ridiculous thing to ask them to do. But when they did go, they found Jesus, just as he had said. The Great Commission, verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. And we give thanks to God for this reading from his most holy and sacred word, and to his name be all the glory. As we turn to Matthew 28 and the verses 16 to the end, in the year 2010, I learned that my post as associate minister was to be axed. And I wasn't hearing the Lord calling me to any other church charge. But I did have a burden in my heart, a weight for people in a building 300 yards along the road from the manse in which I stayed. This is Solmore Ostick, Scotland's Gaelic College. And it may be that many of you don't know, but Solmore has grown inordinately over the years. When they started, they would regularly have between 9 and 12 students every year. They had courses just for native speakers, and the numbers were small, business courses. But in the mid-80s, they decided to do something that I think is an indicator for the church today as well. They decided, instead of just having programs for those they already had, i.e. the ones who spoke the lingo already, they started designing courses for those outside. They started designing courses for learners. And that number of 9 to 12 has now gone up to 1,250 a year. There has been an explosion numerically of people going to learn Gaelic through Solmore Ostick in one form or another, whether it be full-time, part-time, or short courses, video conferencing, etc., etc. Even 2013 summer short courses served 846 people from 23 nations across the world. Now, if you had told 14-year-old John Urquhart that the day would come where people from all over the world were learning the best language in the world, I would have found it difficult to believe. But I was very much burdened for these people because neither the Free Church nor the Church of Scotland was doing anything to reach them. You've got loads of people there, young folks, alert, lively, cobwebs don't stick to them. And nobody was going near them, and I was aching and wanting to do something. However, I didn't go through teacher training. I haven't got a Celtic Studies degree. I haven't published any books. I haven't published any research papers. I don't have a PhD. I went to art school. Drawings and that. and I felt utterly, utterly ill-equipped for what I felt I was being called to do. And the principal of the college and the director of studies said they wanted me to go in and to teach. What, drawing? I can do that. A wee bit of work with clay, can do that. No, language. And even going into the classes, they had the smart boards. Sorry, last time I was in a class, it was chalk on a blackboard. And they're touching stuff and moving it around and flicking up things. And you can do a bit of writing and rub it off. And then you go to something else and there's PowerPoints. Didn't have a Scooby. And really, because I hate being humiliated, I was petrified. That's the honest truth. Because I could hear myself being called. I knew God was calling me to go and do it. But under-equipped, that really is an understatement. Grants would needed to be applied for regularly. I have got no administrative skills whatsoever. In fact, that's boasting too much, considering the lack of skills I do have. It all seemed fearful. In a situation like that, what do we do? You hear God's call, but you realize that you're just not fit for purpose. How many of you have experienced that one? Thank you for being honest. You hear God's call and you say, what? Get somebody who can actually give a good account of your gospel. Not me. But the Lord called. And I deliberately chose this passage today just in case there are 14 of you in here today who are under conviction that you're being called to do something and you're frightened. I know what that feels like. I honestly do. And we're getting our example today, first of all, from two women. And I love how God has chosen in the resurrection accounts to have women so prominent. Because you know, you're biblically taught, in those days, women were at very best second-class citizens. God says, not in my economy, they're not. Made in my image, they are. And he's the one who confounds this world's ways. We see in verse 1 of chapter 28, reference to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They had told, after being met by an angel, Jesus' bewildered followers that Jesus had gone ahead of them to Galilee and that he wanted them to go there too and to meet with him. And they're left with kind of the choice that I had. Okay, you hear the call, but it sounds impossible. How likely is it that you're going to meet someone alive who was dead? In the normal way of things, in everyday life. And that was for them. Let's see the headings that I've been able to glean from here as regards those who are in that position. You're saying, I'm not fit, I'm not able, I'm not up to it. How could I be a missionary of yours, as it were, a messenger of the good news? Well, first of all, at verse 16, we learn that step one is simply this. Put aside your own prejudices and just be obedient. Two words, be obedient. The disciples went, verse 16, to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They went where they were supposed to go and when they were supposed to go. That's step one. Just do it. Go where he's calling you to, and the best time is now. Does the Bible not say that now is the acceptable time? And because they did, despite the fact that it seemed a ridiculous calling, dead man alive, because they went, they actually saw the miracle for themselves, verse 17. They saw him. This is what you will find when you obey God's calling to come, follow me. You will actually see God in amazing ways in your obedience. It'll be even in ways that will surprise yourself, no matter how great your faith is. You will see him when you take that step of obedience and step out in faith. They saw him, it says in this passage. Through obedience, they viewed God's miracle for themselves. Five years later, I'm still teaching and they haven't kicked me out in the college, despite the very, very, very obvious limitations. And what's even stranger is, after the first year of terror every single time I stepped into a class, I'm now starting to really, really enjoy it. I like being with these funny creatures that are 17 and 18 years old, for whom possibilities are endless, and who aren't being safe about everything, all the time, constantly. It's brilliant. I love it. And this is God's way. Remember in the Old Testament, God said to, and he was called Abraham then, he said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Hello? Most of us like to know where we're going first. He's saying, step out to the place I will show you as you're going. That's actually the excitement of being a Christian on mission. You're learning all the time where it is you're leading you, and he's taking you to different paths. This year, I got new classes. People, every bit as scary as the ones I was teaching before. And it's amazing. I never thought this would be happening. But it is wonderful. And look at Abraham. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says of him, Abraham, this is our example, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. No sat-nav, no route planner on the internet before he went. It's just a case of, right, Lord, I'm following you. This is going to be real faith. I will trust you. We live by faith, not by sight. Have you remembered that yourselves? See, we can in church become very, very complacent and very, 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 very safe. But in actual fact, it's not safe not to trust in this God who has the right to say, I'll show you, just go. Are you hearing today? Are you hearing the call to step out in an adventure that you'll be encountering as you go on? Remember in the New Testament as well, Simon, Jesus told him to let down the nets when the sun was at its height, when fish weren't likely to be around, and in the deep water. Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. And what happened when he obeyed against the odds? He said, we've been fishing. Nothing happened. Let them out again. Then there was a massive haul so big that they could hardly cope. We need men and women, boys and girls today, once again in Scotland, who will let the nets out just now when it looks so improbable. I'm led to believe that only 6% of people go to church regularly in our country now. And regularly now is counted as once a month, not as we knew in our tradition up in Lewis and Harris in the US, both ends of the Sunday and midweek meeting. Scotland is in a desperate state. Our nation is in a desperate state. Are you heeding the call? Be obedient is the first point. And be believing as you go too. Sometimes the obedience can come before the actual joy of the believing. You just have to put your foot out, and then when you go, the belief is strengthened as you meet him on the way. Be believing. It's believed that at first the disciples saw Jesus at a distance, and it says in verse 17 that some of them worshipped him, but some doubted. There's an adversative but some doubted. The Greek verb distazo does not indicate a fully fixed or a settled unbelief. You know, the unbelief that says, I will never, ever, ever believe in God under any circumstance at any time. It's not that they refused ever to believe. It's a state of uncertainty or indecision. Now, I've got to say that while I was stepping out, I was going, I can't see how this is going to work out. But I was stepping out anyway. It's been translated by some people, like the great Leon Morris, theologian, as, but some hesitated. Now, it may be that your situation seems so improbable that you might hesitate. You're human. Some others have translated as wavered or were somewhat skeptical. But then they stepped forward and realized it was actually him. And you remember even Thomas. Thomas doubted and said, you know, I won't believe unless I put my hand into the very wounds of his body. But when he did, and he obviously stepped forward, he then gave. And this is what's encouraging for me. For the most poor, pathetic disciple, he gave one of the greatest proclamations of the reality of Jesus given anywhere in Holy Scripture. He cried out when he experienced the risen Christ for himself, my Lord and my God. Jesus is God, second person in the Holy Trinity. And we have that from somebody who hesitated, who wavered at one time. Have you been wavering? Have you been hesitating? Don't, please, do it anymore. Take that first wee step. Get the forward momentum that maybe carries a second and the third step. Just take that step, following him who says, come, follow me. And we've also got to be submissive. And we actually see this here in Jesus himself, our great example. Verse 18 we're looking at. If we just jump back in time before we come to that verse, but it's very much tying the two together. In Matthew's gospel, Satan offered Jesus, and I quote, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Can I say that again? All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, as with his temptations, they can often sound pretty good. A good offer. However, in our passage, Jesus shows us what you get when you submit to God's calling, even if it is the cross. He was offered all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Jesus, in verse 18, says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is the reality. Satan offers us something that looks a great deal. In actual fact, it is nothing in comparison with the riches God is waiting to bestow upon us. Nothing in comparison. And Christ submitted to the way of the cross, the way of going God's direction at God's calling, rather than saying, I'm the boss of my life. And now, because he did, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has it all. Unrestricted dominion. He is the head of the new creation. He has freedom without limitation. That is Christ showing us that he too submitted. And he's calling us to be obedient, to be believing, and to be submissive as well. And then he says, therefore go. Go therefore. I've got all this authority. It's actually mine. Therefore, you can go. You will be equipped. You will be enabled. You will be upheld by me as long as you are fulfilling your calling and your role. I've got to say, I've been absolutely amazed in Solmorostek because things are such now that, well, on just the very earthly level, when I meet a German now, I expect them to be Gaelic speakers. There are so many Germans have come over to Solmorostek in my time, Poles and Czechs, obviously Canadians, etc., etc., etc. But also, in my time in Solmor, I've been able to see with great joy these Germans coming to faith in Christ. I had one student come to me and said, I thought I was coming to a secular college. I have come to the house of God. Isn't that glorious? Imagine. And then there was another time when there was a woman had come to me and she was very distressed, an Asian. She said that she was just about to have a breakdown, couldn't cope anymore, really hard on herself. I noticed that in class. And she said, you don't understand our culture. And I said, well, I'm here to be taught. So she told me about her culture and how her dad had said to her when she got 95% in her math exam, where was the 5? That's so bad. Please, parents in here, don't ever do anything like that. That's horrible. And so she pushes and pushes and pushes herself all the time to the point of breakdown. Lovely student. I thought she was great. We sat in my office one day and she said, you know, I'm trying to meet my father's standards and my mother's standards. But I just can't make it. I'm dying inside. And I said to her, well, do you know this? Can I tell you about my father? My father knows I'm the biggest goofball out. I'm a real failure at a lot of things that I've tried. And you know what he says to me? He says that he loves me. And I've goofed up very, very badly. And she's going, right, that's fantastic. I said, yeah. And he tells me stuff like, I've loved you with an everlasting love. In other words, my love for you lasts forever. It doesn't matter about your grades. He knows them anyway. And she said, that's great. I said, well, I'll write that down for you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That comes from Father. She said, yeah, yeah, that'll be good. And I gave her that and I said, you have to start being a wee bit kinder to yourself and hear the voice of my Father. And I told her that it was my Heavenly Father, God, saying to her, I love you. And I'm loving you with a love that's unbreakable. You'll never do anything to achieve it. It's just a case of receiving it. And she came back the next day and she said, see the book you were talking about yesterday with your father saying good stuff. Are there any other verses in it that say kind of similar stuff about him liking me, even though, you know? I said, how much paper do you have, Agri? I wasn't kidding either. So we sat there and I gave her a bucket load of quotes from the Bible speaking about the love of God to sinners and went away. And then maybe a couple of days later, I was walking up from the manse and I saw her coming out the gates at Solmorostek with the metal sign there. And she just went, and she looked up and I thought, whew, touch of the scalp, how about that one? And when I got to her, I said, what's up? She said, you're never going to believe this. I've just spoken to your father for the first time. He's mine too. I said, that's fantastic. And she said, and I said to him, just as a wee sign that it's really you and that you're real, will you just send John Urquhart up just now so that I can meet him? I mean, for me to be an answer to prayer is a worrying idea, but that time it was reality. There's been loads and loads and loads of great, glorious, gracious instances. And I've absolutely loved my time there. And it's taken all this stuff. Because honestly, when you may think that because I speak fairly easily that I'm very, very self-confident. I am not. This is a facade. This is a mask so that people will not go too deep and find out that actually inside I'm a poor wee throwagan. Be obedient, be believing, and be submissive. Therefore go. Go, therefore, because he's got all authority. And what are you to do when you go? Well, you're to be dedicated, and there's three kind of subheadings here. Three participles tell us how we are to go, making disciples, as it says here. Now, disciples, the word actually means a believer who is learning or a learning believer. That's what it means. None of us have arrived. This is one of the mistakes that I think was often made up in the church at home in Harris. People thought that when you went forward to the table, you had to know everything, could answer all the questions in the Shorter Catechism and the Westminster Confession of Faith and every mystery that ever was in the history of the world, otherwise you couldn't go forward. No, they were learning believers and believing learners. We're all that. Every one of us is just a learner. God willing, we're learning as believers. And what we are to do is to follow him. Throwat lien misha, he said. Come, follow me. Remember, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What a great occupation that is for brave men to go out fishing. We're fishing for souls. And three participles tell us how we're to be doing that. Going, verse 19. The verb that's translated go isn't actually a command, but a present participle. That means going, do this. So you're to be continually doing it. Not, oh, I went once. I did outreach a few years ago. Did a wee Christianity Explored. That's me done now. No, you're to be going. He wants you with him all the way through. It's an ongoing work. You're also to be baptizing. The church does that. And what we see here is a difficulty in language, it might seem to some. We baptize the believers as we're going into the name. Name, singular. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This brings us to the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Now, this shows that the Son and the Spirit have to be God in essence, because there is no way that God the Father would put himself on an equal par with a created being and an impersonal force. God the Father is God. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is God. And God the Holy Spirit is also God. This is part of the mystery. Let us make man in our image, said God in the beginning. That is why fellowship is so important. Today we have many people who say, I'll just watch the God Channel at home. I'll fellowship with myself. That's no good. Honestly, that's no good. God made us to have interpersonal relationships and to build one another up by being like him. Father loves the Son and the Spirit. Son loves the Father and the Spirit. Spirit loves the Father and the Son. There is this communication in the Godhead. So going, baptizing, and teaching. And notice here, it doesn't say that we're to teach people to know what he said. That indeed is a part of it, verse 20, the first part. But what is said in Holy Scripture here, and that is why it's so important to really look at the Word of God. He told us to be going, baptizing, and teaching them to what? Obey everything he has commanded. Not just to know everything he has commanded, but to obey. Big, big difference between just head knowledge and that obedience. We're to teach them through our own actions. That means we're not to be hearers of the word only ourselves. We're to be actually living it the rest of the week. And it's a terrible problem if people look on us and go, they don't live the way that the teaching says on Sunday, because then they're disjoined and they're likely not to believe it. God wants us to be living the faith. It's a way of life, not merely a body of knowledge. Are you living it? Are you stepping out in faith? Is it just Sunday morning? Because honestly, Sunday morning listening is not enough. It has to be lived. Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales, Europe, these nations are dying spiritually. What they need is to see people like those who gave their lives in America in prayer. They were living it to the end. And the family left behind, the families that are saying, I'm going to live it in the face of the biggest agony I've ever encountered in my life. I'm still going to be a Christian, not just know doctrine in my head. And as you're going, being obedient, being believing, being submissive, and being dedicated, remember that you're accompanied. You know, it's very, very easy in our wee world today where we listen to our own headphones, we're on our own device, we're watching our own programs in our own room, to just become very, very individualistic. Jesus says here that as you're going, there's something we need to remember. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And this made all the difference. His Spirit's presence and power, his word being taught to them as they went in obedience, changed them. The trauma of Golgotha became the triumph of Galilee. 500 weak disciples on a hillside in Galilee were given an almost inconceivable command to go into all the world and make disciples. And they did it. And they took the known world of their age. A small group of followers in the Gospels were changed into a missionary-minded worldwide church in the Acts of the Apostles. Are you hearing the call for yourself today? I'll just close with a wee illustration. At the end of a world evangelization meeting, a young woman turned to an older believer and said, oh, I just, probably not in a Harris accent, I just can't get interested in missions. And the old woman said, well, dear, it's just like getting interest in a bank. You have to put in a little something first, or you'll never have any. The more you put in, the more you'll get out of it. And she concluded with two words. Try it. Those, I believe, are God's words for us today as well. Go therefore. Therefore go. Try it.